Everybody's listening. All right, guys, look to your left. Look to your right. If you've got pants on and the person on your left and right has pants on, I've got a word for you. Bronk. Okay. So, do something about it. Okay. I don't know if you ever stopped to think about it. If you ever stopped to think, it's a good thing to start again. But in your brain, I'm told you have 10 trillion neurons. That's a nerve cell. You know, that's interesting. I tell somebody that, they'll say, wow. I said, the Bible's God's word. Well, I don't know about that. You know, but anyhow, and each of those has about 1,000 connections. So I said to myself, wonder what it'd take to build a computer to duplicate what's up here. And so I go to Google or something. They say, we'll build it for a nickel a neuron and a penny a connection. That sounds cheap, doesn't it? 10 to the 10th dollars. My wife says, Pete, no one understands that. So I said, Frida, suppose you had to spend $20 million a day until you spent that much money. Oh, how long would it take? 28 years. Right here, right? Do you treat this thing better than your cell phone? Are you careful what goes in? Just check it. You know, I'd be real careful who I let mess with this. Yeah. Man, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't we? But we just yawn and say, Boy, don't take God for granted. Man, get excited. Okay. Let's get started. To all you folks that don't have a date, I repeat, wrong. Okay. So, you say, I couldn't afford a date. Chapel's free. I couldn't afford a Quaker out to eat. The dining hall's right over there. Yeah. You know, there's two reasons for everything you do. The real reason and the one you tell people. Right? The real reason is Brock, and all those others are what you tell people. Okay? Just for what it's worth. I succumbed to my wife's nagging, and I got hearing aids now. And I think I like them. But did you know when you talk and move your mouth, this one comes loose? So if I'm doing this during the sermon, I'm just retuning my brain, okay? Let's see. Exit plans. Everybody's doing that about now. Good old Rebecca Pape, when she takes my classes every day, she comes and writes on the board, how many more days till the next break? Exit plans. And I just add 7 more to it and say, then we come back. So, but everybody's making exit plans. I can talk to you a little bit about that. Historically, we're going back in time. January the 15th, 2009, flight 1549 has left New York to go to Charlotte, North Carolina with 150 passengers on it. The trouble is, on takeoff, it ran into some birds. The pilot is barely able to get over the George Washington Bridge by about 900 feet, and he knows he's not going much further. And so he's out Googling, trying to figure out what to do now, right? No. You don't have time then. He needed exit plans, didn't he? It's kind of interesting. Pilot Chesley Sullenberger had now set his plan in motion because he had been planning for years as a fighter pilot and a commercial engineering pilot for this occasion. In 20-degree Fahrenheit wet weather, he landed the plane in the Hudson River and saved the lives of 150 people. After everybody was off the plane, he walked up and down and inside of it 2 more times to make sure everybody was off. They were saved by proper exit planning. How's your exit planning going? Let's talk about that. But first, let's have a word with our sponsor, the one who really fearfully and wonderfully made you. Right? Let's do that. Lord, it sure is good being here, being saved, on our way to heaven. Oh, God, you're not surprised at any of this. You got a plan. Help us to make sure we don't mess it up. Help us, Lord, by being led of your spirit and empowered by your love to do what we ought to do to reach a lost and dying world for you and keep our exit plans what they ought to be. Amen. Okay. Let's see, now we're fast forwarding. It's June the 17th, last year. I'm standing at the kitchen sink, taking my 12 or 13, whatever it is, vitamins and supplements that my wife says, Pete, if you don't take them, I'll get you. But anyhow, but I'm taking them, and all of a sudden, I'm having trouble breathing. I'm starting to sweat profusely. My chest is caving in. And I got to thinking, this could be bad. I reached up and took an aspirin, and I said to myself, I'm praying. I said, God, I'm going to wait 30 minutes. If this doesn't get better, I'm going to the hospital. I did. I waited 30 minutes. It didn't get any better. I said, Frieda, you better take me to the hospital. She didn't even speed. She took her time. But anyhow, she called Dennis Streeter. He was going to meet us at the hospital, and he did. But I'm sitting there riding to the hospital and thinking, what about my exit plans? And I got to thinking, I'm really not too worried. My kids and grandkids are all saved and serving God. All my bills are paid off. And then I got to thinking, we got a lot of junk in the garage we need to get rid of. You know, it's stuff like that. And Frieda says, should we call anybody? I said, what could you tell them? We don't know anything yet. I got to the hospital probably about 8:30. Next thing I know, it's 10:30. I'm laying flat on my back in the room. And the doctor said, you had a 99% blockage of the widowmaker artery. We've cleaned it out and put in a stent. You're going to be okay. Well, that was an overstatement. They went in through my groin, and they didn't want to open up that incision. So for 10 hours, I'm laying flat on my back, and I can't raise my head or raise my arms. That's agony. But anyhow, but God did all that because I think I wasn't worried because I think I'd made some exit plans. I got to thinking about my exit plans. When I was 28 years old and our firstborn was there, and I remember rocking her to sleep at night, telling her the plan of salvation. I said, God, I don't know how old a child has to know be before he can understand the child of salvation, but I said, I want my children to hear on that day. And I've been working at that ever since. I remember the first time I read the Bible through, I was a heathen. I was probably in my 30s. And the Holy Spirit's working in my heart. I cried when Moses died. That's amazing. But then I said, I got to read it through a second time. And the second time I read it through, I said to myself, self, find someone in the Bible who God greatly used, whose children he greatly used. Basically, I'm still looking. It wasn't Samuel, wasn't David, wasn't Moses. And I said to myself, God, if I have to choose between you using me or use my children, I just want to show I made the choice, use them. And I have built my life around that. And I pray, I say, God, when I get to heaven, I want the saints and angels to point at me and say, there goes Kelly, Kevin, Kristen, and Keith's father. Because that's how I choose to make my exit plans. And so I had some priorities on that, and let me share those with you. My exit plan priorities, number one is my God. All that I have is from God. Number two is my beautiful bride. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Did you know step one in finding a wife is getting a date? Okay. Are you putting off good things? Okay. Findeth a good thing. And listen to this. Obtaineth favor of the Lord. My third priority, my wife, my God, my God, my wife, and my children. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Yeah, the fruit of his womb is his reward. And then my fourth is my job. And so I never have, my conflicts are always settled by the 1, 2, 3, 4 part. And so I said, wonder how I can put all this together. And we built our life around our church. Every time the doors were open, we were there. And you know what? My children like going to church. Did you know, wonder how you get them to that? Did you know my children like it when the University of Tennessee wins a ball game? Because when they were little, I said, if you don't love Tennessee, you're in trouble. No, I didn't. They love that because I do. You know, and so we decided we were going to go to church when doors opened. And we decided this. We were going to like it. And we decided another thing. This is really important. We never criticized an authority. It's amazing. Did your children ever get treated bad? Oh, yeah. But they don't. I didn't ever say anything about it. And some of the folks that messed up with them have been the biggest blessing in their lives. And so we got excited and we told spoke about it. At a campus crusade retreat in soul winning, one time I met a hippie there. He had shoulder length hair, wore fatigues and stuff like that. And they were going to send us out soul winning. So I'm going out soul winning with this guy. We're walking down the streets of a little mountain town in North Carolina, and he's talking. I thought he was talking to me, but he wasn't. He was talking to God. There's a little league ball game going on in the park. A bunch of kids and parents standing around, sitting around watching it. He said, "Brother Pete, I believe the Lord have us talk to those two boys over there behind the backstop." We walked over. We were noticed. He led the two boys to Christ. They said, "Let's pray." He drops to his knees in front of God and everybody. They dropped to their knees. What did I do? I dropped to my knees too. It's amazing. And I asked him, "What are you going to do when you leave here?" He said, "I'm going wherever God leads." I said, "Maybe he's leading you to our house." I built him a room in our basement. We started a coffee house ministry. We didn't know we were supposed to do that. But my kids grew up seeing stuff, seeing people saved on a regular basis. Oh, by the way, he came to Hiles Anderson College. He did that, among other things. And so it's just been a way of life with us over and over and over again. And we lived in the woods in Tennessee. We built a campfire area. Every Saturday night, we'd have maybe 50 to 100 kids at our house. We'd go out in the woods, build a campfire, and burn rock records. I did some things right. I got local preachers to come and preach to them. It's amazing. 16 of those folks came to Hiles Anderson College, a tactical error. Brother Hiles found out there were 16. I'm rearranging my hearing aid. Brother Hiles found out there were 16 folks. He called me up. He said, "Why are all your students up here and you're not?" It's real simple. It was in the north. Frieda and I would drive down around in Hammond and say, "Look, Frieda, people really live here." It's like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer. It felt good when you were done. But in the meantime, I'm at Tennessee and I'm witnessing in my classes. It's free speech time. I might as well. And some folks got mad, but a lot of students got saved. Before long, we're having a Bible study. Meets every day in the supersonic wind tunnel lab. Wasn't that bad? No, it's pretty good. You know, some teachers at that time were actually taking their students to bars and stuff. And so it was exciting. It was really great. And you appreciate, you say, "I wonder what I'm missing at a state university." I don't know how it is now, but I'll tell you how it was 43 years ago. I walked into the restroom in the student center one time, and one of the guys was standing there with his bib overalls barefoot with his feet in the commode and washing it. He says, "Best way I know to clean my feet off. And then he'd go out and eat leftovers off the table because he didn't want to get a job. You're missing that. You know, it's a shame, isn't it? In the springtime, everybody wore bib overalls and went barefoot. The only way you could tell the boys from the girls is the girls plaited the hair under their arms. Yeah. Now, I'm serious. Why in the world would you let anybody make you think you're missing something here? You ought to get excited. You ought to praise God. When's the last time you jumped up and down and said, "Thank you, Lord, for Hiles Anderson College and me being here"? It'd be okay. And guess what? I was excited about it. And all my kids, four of them, came to Hiles Anderson College. It's amazing. I didn't make them. Exit plans. And I thought I had it made down in Tennessee, and you won't believe what happened. I got a letter from Caterpillar Tractor Company. It said, "Would you take a 15-month sabbatical and do research for us on a diesel engine?" I said, "No way, that's in the north, Peoria." I started to throw it away, and then I said, "Pete, you got an unsolicited letter from them. They think you're hot stuff. Before you throw it away, take it home and show it to your wife." A tactical error. I said, "Frieda, this is dumb, isn't it?" "Maybe it's God's will." I said, "The only way I'd go if you went with me." I'd been to Peoria before. I didn't think she'd like it if she went. And, boy, we got our tickets. We're going to fly to Peoria on a Monday. And Friday before that, I get a phone call. It's Delta Airlines. They say, "Sir, Ozark Airlines is on strike. We can get you to Chicago, but we can't get you to Peoria from Chicago." I thought, "Whew, now I know how Abraham felt when he saw the ram with his horns in the thicket." I thought, I'm off the hook. I said, "Cancel the tickets." My wife's standing there. "Cancel what tickets?" I said, "Frieda, Ozark Airlines is on strike. They can't get us to Peoria from Chicago. She said, don't they rent cars in Chicago? They do. We rented a car. We're driving down one afternoon just north of Peoria on the Illinois River, a little town called Chillicothe. I'm driving through Chillicothe, and God said, this is it. I said, Frieda, what do you think? I think this is it. Well, the next day after the interview, we're driving back through in the afternoon. She says, maybe we ought to find a realtor. I said, where are you going to find a realtor this time in the afternoon? She said, turn here. We found a realtor coming out of his office. We rented a house sight unseen. If I'd have seen it, we might not have rented it. But God moved us to Chillicothe. Up until now, we had been in a Southern Baptist church. He put us in a fundamental independent Baptist church with a bus ministry. Guess where I'm now? In a fundamental independent Baptist. Guess where I've been? Yeah. Boy, I said, if God's leading, and he was, it's for our children's sake, over and over and over again. It's amazing. And in the process of all this, we did go back to Tennessee. I went to my Southern Baptist preacher, and I said, we'd like to start a bus ministry. He said, who? I said, me and the folks in the coffee house. He said, I'll rent every bus you can fill. I said, okay. Our church had never had 500 in Sunday school. Within a year, we had 700 on buses. We had bus kids everywhere. And I thought, boy, this is good. But that's when Brother Hiles called. You know, it was unbelievable. God had opened so many doors. Every Monday morning, I would go to the first grade class where my kids were in school and do the junior church sermon there in school. I mean, and God says you need to leave. Well, some things happened. The public schools went bad. All the hippies graduated and started teaching in them. And we knew we had to go. It's kind of interesting. Kevin and Kelly both had a teacher named Miss Talent, an older lady, really godly, and she just loved them. And I remember I'm taking Kevin out at the end of school, and I said, Mrs. Talent, I want to thank God for you. She said, I thank God for your children. I really love them. She said, I told Kevin, one day when I'm retired, I'm going to sit on my rocking chair in my front church, and I'm going to turn on the radio and listen to him preach. That never occurred to me. That might have been his call. But God has been directed. Exit plans, exit plans. Turn to your Bible to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This is the process that God's given me for my exit plans. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young and now I'm old. That's me. Yet, listen to this, and I underline verses like this in my Bible. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor what? His seed begging bread. I said, I was young then. I said, that's what I'd like to happen in my life. Wonder what I have to do. Let's read on. It's talking about this guy. He's ever merciful and lendeth. And his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. I said, I got to do that. Well, what's the recipe? You're ever merciful. Merciful, if you look it up, that says firm correction and forgiveness. And raising our kids, we did spank them a bunch, but after a while, spanking gets old. And Frieda found a verse in the Bible that says, he that doesn't work won't eat. That's not exactly right. And that was her verse with raising our kids. She gave them jobs to do, and if they liked to eat, they did the jobs. I remember one day Kevin was supposed to mow the yard, and he didn't. Boy, the supper table is set, and Kevin comes down, and there's not a plate set for him. We didn't say a word. But we heard the lawnmower run. It's amazing how that works. And our policy was you paddle your children until their will is broken. Kristen, I'd say, Kristen, go up to my room. And she'd say, my will is broken. My will is broken. I said, I haven't had a chance to break it yet. But, you know, it really, really works. So anyhow, we had a lot of clever... Kevin's job also was take the trash out. every night. And I had to keep reminding him. I got tired of reminding him. One time when he went to bed, he pulled the covers back, and guess what was there? The trash. Didn't have any trouble with him after that. Ever merciful, firm, correct. And lendeth, giving and expecting something in return. Eventually, boy, giving. When Brother Howes hired me, he made it really hard to turn him down. He offered me a 60% pay cut. I was broke already. But it was God's will for my children's sake. He lendeth and expecting nothing in return. Do you know what all four of my children have done? Graduated from Howes Emerson College. You know both my sons are? Preachers. You know both my daughters are? Church secretaries. You know I've got 5 grandkids in here right now? Lendeth. Lendeth. Boy, that's pretty good, isn't it? Depart from evil. That means refusing to do. I have to depart from evil every morning. The alarm goes off. And the flesh says, don't move. But you don't get anything done. Depart from evil is doing what you're supposed to do, not what the flesh says. Did you know, if you get excited about God, I don't jump up as quick as my wife, old age too. But first thing I do when I get out of bed is I say, thank you, God, I'm still breathing. And I start, by the way, my alarm clock is across from my bed, so I have to get out of bed and turn it off. So I'm limping over to the alarm clock, thanking God that I'm still breathing and getting excited. And you know what? It goes pretty good after that. And if you're excited all the time about serving God, so will your children be. You know, we haven't had a family picture made in 20 years, but the last time we had the family picture made, Kevin's wife, Dawn, is the one that is our color coordinator for the family pictures. And I said, Dawn, let's have an informal family picture this time. She said, good idea. I said, what color? She said, there's only one. I said, what's that? She said, orange. You want to see our family picture? Everybody's wearing orange. Why? Because everybody in my family was excited about Tennessee's football team. Well, not as much lately. But why? Because I was. Boy, get excited. It works, okay? And so, and I decided this. I would never do anything apart from my job that didn't involve at least one family member. I will say it's about 1982. We were starting, that church started an Oriental ministry. And they said, would you come and do an Oriental junior church? I got to thinking, good night, I'm riding the bus to church. I'm teaching a Sunday school class. I don't want any more to do on Sunday morning. And my daughter Kelly said, we could do it as a family. Well, let's see, that was in 82 or so. Guess who's still doing a junior church? Guess where 4 of my grandkids are every Sunday helping out? As a family. As a family. And people sometimes say, would you be interested in having me help you on my bus route? I said, only if your whole family likes it. As a family. Get excited. And so, anyhow, what you have to do is you have... When you're trying to depart from evil, you don't necessarily have to say, don't. Don't do that. Sometimes you say, don't do that, don't do that. And the kid says, well, I wouldn't have thought about it, but now I have. Instead of saying, don't, think of do's. Think of good things to do. Boy, in the summertime, when our kids were at home, Frida had them, they were scrubbing baseboards around the house until noon. Every day they worked. In the afternoon, we did a family thing. You know, fill it up with good things. My sons played sports, even when they were pretty good at it. But if they weren't, they'd have still played sports. You know why? Because when they come home, they're tired. You know, I remember one time we didn't have anything, and I said, well, kids, what do you want to do tonight? And Kevin said, can we just go home? Where am I doing? Good things. It works. And do good. Do good. excuse me. Just make sure God's in it. How do you know you're doing good? If you can't pray about it, you're not doing good. You know, God bless me as I watch this R-rated movie. You won't. And then have you ever thought about, bless me as I smoke this cigarette? Did you think about the lunacy of crumpling up leaves, putting them in a sheet of paper, rolling them up in a stick, putting them in your mouth, setting them on fire and sucking? cool. Oh, it's dumb. Yeah. So do good. And one of the things we worked out at was our family altar. That, by the way, is still the hardest thing, just with me and Frida to maintain. The devil fights that. But our rule was at 6:30, you had to be at the kitchen table, having eaten breakfast, being fully dressed and ready to go to school, and we'd have a family altar. I didn't have a podium. We simply read whatever proverb was corresponding with the day of the month. And I didn't say, Keith, I hope you heard that verse. No, I didn't. We just read the verses. And then what we do is, I asked, does anybody have anything today, test, et cetera, and so forth? And then we prayed for it. That supper that night, we could talk about all the answers to prayers. It really worked. Isn't it hard to get kids up? Well, you have to know how to do it. I went to each of my children, I said, in order for you to be at the kitchen table by 6:30, what time do you need to get up? They told me. I said, okay, I'll call you once. After that, I pour water on you. You know, and it's amazing. Some mornings, all I do is turn the faucet on in the kitchen. You hear feet hitting the floor all over the house. There's no sense in making. Kevin was hard to get up than most people. And one in the winter day, he didn't get up right away. I took his bedspread out, filled it up with snow, took it in, and dumped it on him. Never had to do that again. But seriously, so family altar. And this is probably the most important thing I think I still do. Psalm 119, verse 62 says, at midnight I will rise and give thanks to thee for thy righteous judgments. To this day, that was started, I think, about 82 or 83. I still do it. Is that hard getting out of bed? It's usually about 1 in the morning when I wake up. And it's really not so bad if you say to yourself, I get to go back to sleep when this is over. And it usually takes me, if I don't fall asleep while I'm praying, sometimes I wake up laying on my face on the rug. But if nothing goes wrong, it takes about 45 minutes or so. How does it work? Let's see, I got 5 kids here. My kids are all saved and going to heaven. Exit plans, right? It does work. And then it says, dwell forevermore. You know what that means? It means dwell forevermore. Someone asked my son Kevin, how long is your dad going to run a bus route? He said, until they make a 72-passenger car. You know, dwell forevermore. Keep it going. God has blessed me. Since I have been here going on 43-plus years, to this day, I've never missed a church service, my bus route, or class for being sick. What do you do when you're sick? You do your bus route, your class, and go to church services. Take a chance on it. I found out when you're sick at home, you're sick on the bus route. You might as well do something with the sick. And God has blessed and blessed. And it's amazing. Maybe it'd be good if we worked on our exit plans. Let's see, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Turn there, Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. That's verse 6. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall also of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall, not might, we shall reap. What are you going to reap? If I'm not faithful in serving God, if I let up, I might as well look at my kids and say, what are they going to reap from what I leave behind? I can't let up because I love my kids. I love my grandkids. In August, I got a great-grandchild. Well, I got him already. He just hadn't made appearance yet. Isn't that good? How do you beat that? It doesn't come easy. But I can say this. I'm blessed beyond all measure. Maybe it'd be good if y'all decided now's a good time to work on your exit plans. Let's just stand. Everybody stand.